Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing that was, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. As I often say, we pray all week long that God would use this place as a place of refuge, not only for our own membership here, but for anyone that would come through the doors of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And so I just trust that you've already sensed the presence of God in this place, and you've already been ministered to through the music. And now we want to look to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Hosea chapter 5. Now, Hosea is the 28th book of the Old Testament. You find Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea, all right? That'll help you out a little bit there toward the end of the Old Testament. If you found Ezekiel, then Daniel, then Hosea, one of the prophets of the Lord. And so Hosea chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1 through 5, then drop down and read verse 10 through the end of the chapter, verse 15. So if you'll stand with me this morning, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king. For judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare of Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. The revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me for now. O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, Judah also shall fall with them." Drop down to verse 10. "The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandments. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians and said to King Jareb, Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound? For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And their affliction, they will seek me early." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be in church today. I thank you for the very words of God that you have preserved for us so that we might know the very mind of God. We might understand how you work in our lives. And I pray this morning that as we look into this passage of Scripture and understand exactly the message that you'd have us receive from it, that you'd give each one here that ear to hear and that heart to make an application. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As you know, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people, and Ephraim was one of the tribes of the nation of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And God's children had fallen into great apostasy. This would be before their captivity, the judgment of God upon the 12 tribes of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, the 2 southern tribes of Judah. Would be that God would eventually take them into captivity. He would allow other nations to come in to destroy them and then to take the remnant of those who would still be alive into captivity. So that would be God's judgment upon the apostasy of his children. And right before this would take place, God sends his prophet Hosea, one of the many prophets that God would use to preach to the people in the land of Judah and in the 10 northern kingdoms as well. But Hosea was allowed, if you'd study this and read the entire book, and we'll not take a lot of time in doing that, but understanding that Hosea was allowed to marry a woman who would be unfaithful to him. And God would use this to prepare Hosea to be used by God to prophesy to the children of Israel. And he would be able to identify more with the people. And God does prepare his prophets, and he prepares his preachers to be able to be used to minister to those in whom he would send them to. Israel would be likened by God as an adulterous wife. And that would be in how God would prepare Hosea to be able to be used of God to speak to them and to preach to them. Now in chapter 5 in the book of Hosea, and this is more the message I want to present to you this morning, it reveals the progressive judgment of God. Or if you will, the method of God's judgments. We are to know God. The Bible has been preserved for us so that we might know God. The God and how he worked in the Old Testament, and then how that in the fulfillment of the Old Testament through the Lord Jesus Christ, God is still the same God. And the principles that God used in the Old Testament are the very same principles that God will use in this 2016, in the year 2016. God is God. He's the same. God never changes. He's immutable. That means that God never changes. And so we find here that as we study this and learn of this in the Old Testament, we can know of how God would deal with us today. And so in chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken ye the house of Israel, and give ear the house of the king, for judgment is towards you." Judgment. This morning, the question would be, is the judgment of God real? Do you believe in the judgment of God? That's something that's changed in our society today in America. There's no doubt that our forefathers understood who God was and understood the wrath and the judgment of God. But yet in the day and age that we live in today, children, young people, don't fear God. They don't know that there is judgment. They have been raised to believe that we're just sophisticated animals. Amen. And when you take that fear of God and the fear of God's judgment out of a person's heart and mind, they're left to give into the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And that's the direction that they'll go. So is the judgment of God real? Do we believe the judgment of God to be real? Are there rewards and punishments for how we live our lives? Do you understand there's, as we live our lives, that there are consequences to wrong decisions? Not only is there a law in a government that we have to somewhat answer to in our society today, but what's greater and more important to know that there's a law of the land and a government that we answer to, there is an almighty God that rewards good behavior and that judges that which man would go in opposition to the will of God. If you believe in God, you must believe in judgment. No doubt about it. It's according to the very nature of who God is. The Bible is what has been preserved. God has preserved it so for us to understand who God is, for us to know him. And we find that God is a God of holiness, a God of righteousness. In order for there to be holiness, in order for there to be righteousness, it demands that there be justice. And with justice has to come judgment. Even before the creation of man, we find the Bible reveals to us that there was the creation of angels. And even of the angels, there were archangels, those that God had given positions over the other angels. And because of Lucifer, and because that he chose to go opposite the will of God, he chose to do that which we would call sin today, God judged Lucifer and the third of all the other created angels that followed him, and he judged them by casting him out of heaven. We have the account in the book of Revelation chapter 12. We have it revealed to us in the Old Testament prophecies as well, that God, even before humanity, because of the very nature of God, God has to judge sin. So with that established, and I trust that we understand that, yes, judgment is real. The judgment of God is real. And there are rewards and there are punishments for our decisions or how we live our lives. As we look here in the book of Hosea, chapter 5, the first thing we want to look at and study this morning is to realize the reason for judgment. As we understand who God is and we understand the method of judgment, there is a reason why God will judge. If you look here in chapter 5, verse 10, the prince of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. God's designed for everything has boundaries. God's design for heaven, we understood it had boundaries. And Lucifer, if you will, crossed over the boundaries that God has established for the angels. And because Lucifer had stepped over the boundaries that God had established for angels, then he was judged. And now we find that God's chosen people, we find that humanity, God's creation, created in the likeness and the image of God, he set boundaries for Adam and Eve. When they crossed over the boundaries, we find that God judged them. Because of one man's sin, sin has passed upon all men. We are born with a sin nature today because of the judgment of God upon Adam for doing that which God said not to do. And when he did that, he crossed over the boundaries that God had established for man. And then we find that God's chosen people, Israel, God gave them the law, and within the law we find the boundaries that God had established for them to live by. And when they had crossed over the boundaries or tried to change what the boundary lines were, God would judge them. God's design for everything has boundaries. When those boundaries are crossed, you'll find the judgment of God. Galatians in chapter 6, I think it better helps us to understand this. New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. Now we find this in the Old Testament, no doubt, but the New Testament fulfillment helping us to better understand the principles taught in the Old Testament is revealed by Christ. In Galatians in chapter 6, there are natural and spiritual boundaries. There are boundaries that God has placed on the earth. And these are natural boundaries. And when we cross those boundaries in nature, then we have nature judging those decisions to cross over boundary lines. And then we have spiritual boundaries. If you will, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. Satan would love to blind you to this. He'd love to deceive you from the truths of God's word. So that's what he says. Now, don't be deceived. Understand the will of God, the ways of God. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The principle of sowing and reaping. Is that just karma? A lot of those that would not believe in God would just say, that's just karma. That's just the way it is. Why is it that way? Even the lost would understand this principle of sowing and reaping. But they would believe it's just something that is karma, and yet when you know God and you know the Bible, you understand it's not just karma, it is God's design. God has designed the principle of sowing and reaping. And there is a sowing and reaping of that which is natural, that God has established nature. And there is a sowing and reaping of that which is spiritual, that's only known by those who know God. So he says, don't be deceived concerning this, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He goes on to say, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh, natural, the flesh, physical, shall of the flesh reap corruption. That corruption there is to destroy. If we yield to the sin nature, if humanity continues to live according to the sin nature of man, the sin nature of man will lead you to corruption. It will lead you to be destroyed. It will lead you, this idea of corruption is to be destroyed or to spoil. So he says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we find here what God has established in boundary lines and what will happen concerning staying within those boundary lines or going outside of those boundary lines when it comes to that which is of nature, of natural, or that which is of God is spiritual. The lost, even the lost, who sow to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That means how you live your life will come back to haunt you. Because God has established, he designed natural or nature to judge sin. Back in Hosea, because we find this even in the prophecy of Hosea, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3, look what the Bible says, and this is concerning what God says is just natural. It's the fleshly man, if he gives in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and he lives his life that way, it will come back to destroy. Hear the word of the Lord, Hosea writes in chapter 4, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. And you find that when there is no truth, when there is no mercy and no knowledge of God in the land, that land will be destroyed. You look at our world today, and most third world nations and countries today, the reason that they live in the poverty that they live in is because they have rejected God. At some point in the history of that nation, they have rejected God and have turned to the ways of the flesh or the gods of this world, which are not true gods. And that has led them to the place that they're at today. The reason why the United States of America is as great of a nation as it is today is because our forefathers established this nation to believe in God and to establish the laws of our land that would agree with the commandments of God. And that's why we have been used by God and have the power that we have today and have the blessings of God upon our nation today. He says, goes on and say, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. That kind of lifestyle, God has designed nature that when you cross the boundaries of nature, God designed nature to judge sin. By the very acts of sin, it will bring the judgment upon the people and the land. That's what he's saying there. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the air of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. When they live that way, not acknowledging God and live just for self and live the lifestyle that the Bible is talking about here, then they affect even nature itself. And it's a design judgment. When you yield to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap corruption. Wow. Well, there's also those who sow to the Spirit. Only those who know God can live a spiritual life. Amen. Only those who know God and believe in God even understand that there's a spiritual life to live. Only those who to know God and understand that there's a Bible that God has preserved for us, that we might know the very mind of God, and in knowing the mind of God, we can know the will of God. And if you were here in Sunday morning Sunday school, it is our wills, a decision that we make to allow God's will to be our wills. And so we need to learn to praise God's will, because what's most important for us in those of us who know God is to know that His will is not only what's right for us, it is what's best for us. And as we yield to God's will for our lives, we can reap the blessings of God. Yeah, so this idea of sowing to the Spirit. And back in Galatians in chapter 6, he helps us there to understand that. Not only is there the judgments of the flesh for those who yield to the flesh, but there's the blessings of the Spirit for those who yield to the Spirit. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. And the greatest blessing of all is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Life everlasting. God will judge His children. He will judge His children according to what they do with His will. Hosea, again, we go back there in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says this. Now the world, those that are lost, they will be, nature itself will judge them. They will reap what they have sown, nature itself. God designed natural things to do that. But more importantly, God has designed spiritual things. And when you do what God would have you to do spiritually, then you position yourself for the blessings of God upon your life. Which the ultimate blessing is have the peace that passeth all understanding, knowing no matter what happens to me in this life, I have an eternal life awaiting me. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And understanding this body will one day die and decay, but I have a glorified body, amen, awaiting me and life eternal. That, to know that, that's a tremendous blessing, a spiritual blessing. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now God has given us the knowledge through his word to know his will, but you will have the choice whether to receive it or reject it. Even after you've been saved, now you have an opportunity because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you. You have an opportunity to live a spiritual life, but you still make choices whether to yield to the Spirit of God, to yield to what you know is right, or to reject that knowledge. And if you reject that knowledge, then you will have the judgment of God. If you yield to that knowledge, then you will have the blessings of God. Now we're talking about those who know God, those who believe in God. That's what he's saying. My people are destroyed. They're being destroyed, taken into captivity for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. God establishes his boundary lines for his children. And God's boundary lines for his children are for our protection, and it's for our preservation. It's not to limit us from having fun. It's to protect us and preserve us so that we might be able to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish and receive the blessings of God upon our lives. God is the one who has established the boundary lines for Christianity. When you go to the zoos, there's boundary lines. Every now and then you'll hear of somebody thinking, I want to cross the boundary lines. And when they cross the boundary lines, they don't realize it, but those polar bears are not cute and cuddly. They might look cute and cuddly because you see them with a Coke in their hand most of the time, amen? And you think about them as being cute and cuddly, and I want to get as close to them as I can so I can maybe even feel their fur, or I might take a picture, a selfie with a polar bear behind me. But those who understand polar bears realize they are savage. They are meat eaters, and you are meat to them. Those who understand polar bears know the strengths of polar bears. If there is just chicken wire between me and a polar bear, I would be afraid. Amen. They know the strength of a polar bear, and so they have bars strong enough to resist the strength of a polar bear. They understand how long a polar bear's arm is to reach out. They understand what a polar bear can jump or what he can climb. And so those who have the knowledge and expertise of animal behavior, then they design the boundary lines to what? To keep me from getting a selfie with a polar bear. And those who think that, they'll jump over the boundary lines. And they won't even think about the boundary lines. And they'll jump over the boundary lines and they'll try to get down there and even call the polar bear over to get a selfie with me. And before you know it, that polar bear, and there's been many examples of this, the polar bear is trying to bring that person in so that they can have dinner. And then they wonder, why didn't the zoo do more to protect us? Wait a minute. I think they give you boundary lines. And I think they told you, don't cross these boundary lines. The boundary lines are there for a purpose, and they're designed by people who know the fierceness of these animals. And if you want to be safe when you go to a zoo, stay on the right side of the boundary lines. Sometimes we want to move the boundary lines based on what we think we can handle. Can I tell you, somebody that knows you better than you know yourself is God. Someone who knows the polar bear or Satan, amen, as that predator, somebody that knows him better than you is God. And God says to protect you and to preserve you, I've given to you boundary lines. If you want my blessings and if you want to be preserved, if you want to live, stay on the right side of the boundary lines. When we cross those boundary lines, then we have sinned against God and we open ourselves up to whatever danger and whatever threat is on the other side of the boundary line. God knows how to protect his own. God knows how to preserve his own. He's established boundary lines. The reason for judgment is they moved the boundaries, or if you will, they crossed over the boundaries. When they did that, then we find Hosea giving us the progressive judgment of God. Beginning of the God's judgment. Can I tell you, the beginning of God's judgments is always, first of all, a message of warning. He wants the whole world to be warned about eternal hell. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. And so he has given his church the great commission to go into all the world and tell people. Tell people about who God is. Tell people about the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Help them to come to understand the teachings of Christ, and it'll help them to understand they need to identify with Jesus Christ through believers' baptism. And then to disciple them by helping them to understand everything that Christ taught us. That's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. And that is what God wants the whole world to know. God sends a message of warning before the judgment. If mankind will not take heed to the warning and receive Jesus Christ, they will be judged one day and they will be cast into an eternal lake of fire, an eternal judgment of God. Until that time, if they're lost, they're just going to have to be judged by the nature itself. If they yield to the flesh, then nature itself will eventually, they will find corruption in the direction of life they're going. For the children of God who are saved, who get saved, there's a message of warning before you cross over the boundary lines. I love it because in the New Testament, the first one that he sent to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his message, the message that the Bible records, what John first started doing and preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to give you a warning this morning that John said you need to repent. That means you need to change your way of thinking. You need to change your way of living. You need to look to God and make an about face. You need to have a turnaround. Repentance, true repentance, is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. And John says, let me tell you something. You need to repent and look to God. When Jesus Christ came and he started his public ministry, the first message that he preached was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The message that we need to understand today is that there is a different way to live than what the world says, than that the flesh says. There's the will of God that we need to yield to. God always sends a warning by way of a prophet, Hosea, by way of a preacher today. Amen. Someone who take the Bible and say, this is what thus saith the Lord. And every time you hear it, it's God's warning. Warning will always come before judgment begins. The beginning of God's judgment was the warning. Hosea went, and Hosea was prepared to be able to identify with the nation of Israel. And then the Bible says in chapter 5 in Hosea, when they would not turn, take heed to the warning, that God would present judgment as a moth. Hosea chapter 5 verse 12, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, as a moth. You stop and think about a moth. You see it and you don't really see how, what kind of damage they can have. But it's a moth's larva that actually eat the wool. And they do it in silence, in secret. And it takes it's a slow process. If you have clothes that are hanging up, you know, and you never go to them, that could be moths in there and eating up those garments. Amen. It's something you don't see. It's something that's done secretly, and it is very slow moving. God says that's how the beginning of judgment is. After warning, God will start working in secret. I love that because for the born-again believer, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the very first judgment of God appears when the Spirit of God is grieved. When you do something that is outside the will of God, the Bible says you grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. And that's the beginning of judgment. You start losing your peace. You start losing your joy. And if you don't understand that you're losing your peace and joy because of the judgment of God, because you're not doing what God tells you to do, or you're not doing what God says to do, then you're going to blame other things, and you're going to actually, and this happens often, because people are starting to lose their joy and their peace, they'll try to go to the things of the flesh to bring joy and peace. And they fall right into Satan's trap. And they get out of church because the church represents conviction. If you're wanting to live outside the boundary lines and you don't want somebody to be telling you you're living outside the boundary lines every time you come to church. And so you're going to find a church that's not going to teach, not going to preach against your sins. And you're going to start going to trying to find something that will allow you to live the way you want to live and not have to suffer the consequences, at least in the beginning, of a peace of mind and the joy of the Spirit of God. But God would have us to understand his method of judgment. His method of judgment is, first of all, warning. Second of all, God will work as a moth. That means that he will start taking away very slowly your peace. He'll start taking away your joy. And you have to acknowledge the fact that you are losing that because not of God. God's never left you. You've left God. And he said he started as a moth, but when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, Then went Ephraim to Assyria and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound? They understood there was something wrong, but they went to the wrong place to find the help. Because they went to the wrong place to find the help, then God says, my progressive method of God's judgment, the moth turns into a lion. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion. Advanced judgment is as a lion. Openly, a lion attacks openly, and a lion devours swiftly. Wow. That means if I don't take heed to the warnings of God, then I'll continue in a direction opposite the way God would have me to go. And the next step is God's judgment in silence, inwardly. God judging you inwardly. His spirit bearing witness with your spirit, giving you a loss of peace, a loss of contentment, a loss of joy. And if you're deceived and you don't see that as God's judgment, then you will turn to something else that you think is going to bring pleasure into your life. And really what it's going to do, if you're not turning to God, it's going to bring the advanced judgment of God. That of a lion. Now, the desired way to respond to God's judgments. In closing this morning, that's what we need to understand. We understand the method of God's judgment. I believe that every born-again believer especially needs to know God. We need to know the method of God's judgments. And God's judgment is that of a progressive judgment of God. So what's the solution? Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. Follow with me because we're almost done. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offenses. Acknowledge their offenses. And seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Verse chapter 6 and verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. The solution to that is to turn back to God. It's to acknowledge your iniquities, acknowledge your offenses, and ask for forgiveness. That, what is that? That is repentance. I love what Isaiah says, and you mark it down, let me just read it to you. By Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah was one of the prophets of God to the children of Israel and Judah as well. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it says this. Isaiah writes, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If you wait too long, you go beyond the point of no return. God will already have decided to take you into captivity to devour. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, when you're still under the conviction of God to confess and do right. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Means God's love for you reveals his grace. And his grace is what we need to have forgiveness of our sins. Repentance is what God is looking for. Every one of us here need to understand and believe in God's method of judgment. And the sooner the better. See, what's best for the believer and even for the lost man is to take heed to his warnings and repent early. To listen to the warnings and say, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay on this side of the boundary lines. But if you've crossed the boundary lines, What's the best thing for you to do is to take heed to the judgment of the moth. Only you know it. You might be fooling everybody else around you. You still might look like that you're in the will of God. You might look like you might still be in church. You might still even be reading your Bible, still might be praying. But inside you know that there's a moth. God has taken away a peace that you used to have. God has taken away a joy that you used to have. If that's the case, then take heed to the moth. Repent. Turn back to God. Get back to where you once were. God's never moved. God will never move. It's been said that a backsliding condition is someone, if you've ever been closer to God than what you are right now, it's a backsliding condition. God's the same place He's always been. But if you're not, that's a backsliding condition. So understand when you start losing your peace and you lose the joy that God is judging you as a moth, and that is exactly what's going to happen. And if you don't turn back to Him, there is coming the lion. Because that's the method of God's judgment. That's how God works. That's what the Bible reveals to us about our God. Judgment. God is a God of judgment, and God is a God of blessings. And it will be determined by our decisions and what we choose and how we choose to live our lives. What will you choose today? How might God be working in your life? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Message from the book of Hosea, one of the prophets of God, that has helped us, especially as we look into the New Testament, the idea, the principle of sowing and reaping. It's real. But it's not real because of karma. It's real because God is real. It's what God has established. Where are you at this morning? If you're here and you're lost, you can't go back to a point in time in your life when you believed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive you for your sins, and save your soul. Boy, today's that day. God's made an opportunity for you. He's opened a door for you to get saved today. Don't let this door pass you by. This is a great opportunity. If you're saved and you're outside the will of God, you've crossed the boundaries or you've moved the boundary lines, listen to me. God has to judge that. If He is a just God as He is, He has to judge that, and He will judge that in His time, in His way. Turn back to Him. Don't open the door for the lion. Turn back to Him today. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. Pray that You'd work now in our midst. I pray that You would speak to each one right now in this invitation as they need to be spoken to, reveal to them what they need to have revealed. And I pray, God, You'd strengthen them to make the decisions that they need to make to draw back closer to You. Work in our midst now. Bless at this time. In Jesus' name.